And we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between what we see as salvation and what others might see as religions. So we live in a world today that is full of religions. And I'm talking about, and people call themselves Christians. They're calling themselves liberal Christians. Does anybody understand what the word liberal Christian means? So this message is probably not too popular with some people. But there is no such thing as a liberal Christian. You cannot live according to the world and still profess God and Him be happy about it. So in our salvation, it's all about our relationship with the Lord and the closeness of that relationship. So we have to ask ourselves then, what are we living according to in our life? Are we living according to our salvation? Which sometimes we don't always live according to our salvation because we don't always understand our salvation. But are we living according to our salvation, or are we living according to religion or Christianity, so to speak? So a lot of people believe that those things are one and the same, but nothing could be further from the truth. They are not the same thing. So man believes that salvation is found in religion. False. That salvation is not found in religion, but there are many people out there today that claim to follow after Christian religions. So when we hear this, then we know and we understand that they cannot be, I'll say that again, they cannot be followers of Christ, because Christ did not come into this world to be the founder of a religion. You understand that? Amen? That's just not how He came into this world, He said, to do what? To save sinners. So let's read that verse. Let's go to 1 Timothy, if you'll turn there with me real quick. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15, here's what He says. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception." So did you get that part? Worthy of all... You accept this. This is... Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy was a young minister. He was having trouble with the same thing in the church that he was in. He had a lot of conservative, liberal people. And Paul said, here's one of the things that you should be teaching them. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Jesus Christ came in the world to what? To save sinners." And Paul said, "I'll just give you an example of a sinner." He said, "I'm the chief. I'm the greatest one of them all. I'm the chief." So he tells us that without forgiveness of sin, man, woman, however you want to put it, cannot be reconciled unto God. We must have salvation. So, and salvation comes by faith believing in the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the one that paid that sin debt for us. So when He paid that sin debt, what He did was He took that sinfulness. He didn't take away your sinfulness, but He took that sinfulness, that debt of sin that we owed. He paid that debt of sin, and for anybody that will accept His saving grace, then He gave unto us His righteousness. God can now look upon us through the righteousness of Christ. In the book of Romans, let's go to Romans for a minute. Romans chapter 10. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but sometime you ought to go back and study the book of Romans chapter 10, because if you have any doubt about how to be saved and what your salvation is all about, you're going to find it in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. But let's look at verses 16 and verse 17. And he says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." So this is, if you want to be where with in your relationship with Christ, and this is what our life is all about as believers, and I say believers, not Christians, because I don't want to be labeled as a liberal Christian, but as a believer, if you want your relationship with Christ to grow, if you want it to be strengthened, then it says you must what? Obey the gospel. You know, when back years ago, they took it out of your marriage vows now, but one of the things when you got married, they said to honor and what?
Obey.
That's right. Well, that's gone now. Okay? We don't like that word. Nobody is going to tell me what I have to do. As a believer, God is telling you what you have to do, and you better listen. Because if you want your relationship with God to grow stronger, then He says you got to learn to obey the gospel. People think that one of these days when I stand before the Lord, oh, I've sinned a little bit here, I've sinned a little bit there. God's just going to judge me for those sins. It'll be okay because I'm forgiven of that. God is not going to judge you according to your sin. He's going to judge you whether you were obedient to the Word of God or not. That's why He says, obey the gospel. And He said, Isaiah said, Lord, who is going to believe this? And we can say the same thing today. Lord, when we speak this, when we preach this, when we teach this, who's going to believe it? And He said, the ones that are going to believe it, in verse 17, He said, the ones that hear by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing does what? Hearing comes through or by the Word of God. So that means our faith, we are to stand fast in the truth of God's Word. If we're standing fast in anything else, that's not the truth. And it's not going to help our relationship with God. So refusing to stand fast in the truth of God's Word means that we're being disobedient to the Word of God. Now, is everybody disobedient to every promise and commandment of God's Word? No, because we all inherited that from Adam. And the Bible does say that that's not an excuse, but we did inherit that from Adam. So we're all going to sin, but we can all repent of those sins in our life. So refusing to believe means we're being disobedient and we're starting to live according to man's rules and regulations, and there is no eternal value in that. So everything that we're doing in our life should resemble or have some kind of eternal value. If we're not doing things that has eternal value, then we're not following after the promises and the commandments of God's Word. So those who believe are going to call upon the name of the Lord. Doesn't matter. We talked about this in our Sunday school class. You know, God knows everything about you. He knows everything about me, and He knew it. He knew it before He ever created Adam. He knew everything about you. He knew everything about me. So why, since God knows everything about me, why don't I go to God? Because I think I'm going to tell Him something that He doesn't know. God knows it all. So why not own up to it? Why not be upfront with the One who takes care of us? And it's because we're being taught that our salvation comes through religion. If you profess that yes, there is a God, but it's okay to go sin as long as you know there is a God, and it's okay because I'll do good works and one day I'll get to heaven. There are plenty of people in this world today, and I'll put it this way, that does better works than you or I as believers, but they are not saved and they're going to hell. Okay, you understand that? Okay? Good works will not get you to heaven. But as believers, we're supposed to be doing good works. Faith without works is what? Dead faith. That means nobody can see what it is, your maturity in the Lord. We need to show people who we are in the Lord. I cannot show somebody my salvation if I'm living according to religious rules and regulations and I have no idea what my salvation is truly all about. So throw out the rules and regulations. Get rid of them. Put them aside and start learning what the truth of God's Word is all about. Religious rules and regulations will only cause doubt and unbelief in our life. Because now we're going to start saying, well, maybe that's not true. Maybe when I learned that, it's not. So we need to get rid of that in our life. In Romans chapter 10, let's back up to verses 14 and 15 for just a second. Verse 14, how then, so pay attention to this, how then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, all the churches are reading in this, and when they're saying, whose fault is it that we don't know anything about salvation? I'll run back there and sit with you. It's the guy up there. The priest. Do you know who the preacher is? Come on, raise your hands. We're all preachers, okay? Just because you might not have been ordained by man doesn't mean that you're not a preacher of the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And he said, how are they going to hear unless somebody tells them about it? Somebody has to go out and say, look, I believe. Somebody has to go out and say, now it's easy to go out and say, you got to believe or you got to have faith, but I'm not going to pay no attention to that. I want to see it in you. I want to see that you believe. I want to see that you had faith. I want to see that you claim to have accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And he said, how are these people going to understand this? How are they going to hear it if we don't go out and show them what it's all about? We cannot show somebody what our salvation is all about because we don't understand it ourselves. We have to learn to understand our salvation. In verse 15 it says, and how shall they preach? Okay, so now we're getting to that part. How shall they preach unless they be sent? Okay, God wants to send us. He is not going to send us if we are not prepared. Now, I'm not going to say He's not going to send us if you don't have the ability, because God gave every one of us the ability when we were saved. But we have to prepare. And in order to prepare, we have to study, we have to pray, we have to learn what the truth of God's Word is all about. And then He says, I'm going to send you out. And He said, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, let's not take that out of too much content. Because when He says bring glad tidings of good things, we can't bring glad tidings of good things if we're only preaching heaven and never preaching hell. Okay? But it's better for me if I only preach about heaven. It's better for me to say, oh, you can do whatever you want during the week. The Lord's still going to take you to heaven one of these. It's better for me because it's better for me where?
Here.
In my pockets. Okay? And you see, I don't have no money in my pockets. But that's where our thinking is with religion. I need to, if I want the church to be full, I need to tell people how good they are. No, you need to tell people that if you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. You need to teach them how to be saved. But if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. Well, preacher, half my congregation would get up and leave. But at least they'll heard the truth when they left. We have to learn to bring the glad tidings of salvation, even if it hurts people's worldly emotional feelings. They have to know what salvation is all about. So that means when God speaks to us, we should what?
Listen.
We ought to listen. We ought to pay attention. That's why we gave everybody notebooks. If you think you're going to forget it, write it down. So when God talks to you, we need to learn to listen. So no matter how amazing that we think things, and you know, the least little thing amazes us. We see something happen, say, oh, how amazing that was. Oh, the birth of that child. No matter how amazing that we think things are, we have to still give God our undivided attention. Things distract us in life. Things take us away, lead us away in the wrong direction. It hinders our relationship with God. And do you know who's behind that? That's right. It ain't God. But I can justify it being God by saying, look what God done over there. And all the time, Satan's using that to hinder your relationship with God. Because he's distracting you, taking your attention away from what God really wants you to do. We cannot remain dead in our trespasses and sins and still go to heaven. We have to learn to show others what our salvation is truly all about. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, listen to this verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, here's what it says. Let your light what? So shine before men. Before everybody. Okay? It doesn't matter. Well, when I go to church, I let my light shine. Because they're all supposedly a bunch of good Christians there. Little do you know. But anyhow. But when you go back out into the world, and it doesn't matter who. Well, I don't know. These are my friends. I know they drink some. They go out. They run around. I'll put my light in here for a little while. Because I don't want to be embarrassed. And I don't want to embarrass them. No. Let your light. What's the song? This little light of mine. I'm going to let. Don't hide it. What? Under a bushel, don't let Satan what? Blow it out. Sure. Let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and it's the good works that glorify your Father which is in heaven. You have no good works if your works are not glorifying God. I don't care what you're doing, any works that does not glorify God, those works are going to be burned up. They don't mean a thing because they do not glorify God. We have to learn to be an example of our faith, not just merely tell people what our faith is all about. Telling doesn't do a thing. We have to be a living example. So that means we got to be committed in our relationship to God. You're committed in your personal relationships, aren't you? You wives would do almost anything. I'm going to say almost anything because the world's changing. And you husbands would do almost anything for your wife. You would do anything for your kids, your grandkids. Where did that fall short when it comes to what we do for the Lord? Our worldly relationships are thriving. Our relationship with God is failing. Our relationship with God should be growing. And he says, all those other things then I'll add unto you. If you want your worldly relationship between you and your husband to get better, make sure your relationship with God is better. If you want the ones between you and your kids, you and your grandkids, you and your neighbor, whoever it is, if you want them relationships to grow, it's got to grow with God first, because He's the one that's going to take care of that relationship, not you. We can't take care of ourselves, and we're trying to take care of other people. We have to work on our relationship with God. There is no, so the notion goes around out there in the world today that the more good deeds that I do, the better chance I have to go to heaven. And the greater reward I'm going to get when I get there. Well, first of all, if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. Okay? That's just as simple as I can put it. If you are saved, I can tell you there's a lot of people, and my daddy says this all the time, because when we're down here working upon this earth as believers, we're sending up material for our wedding dress, so to speak, our wedding gown. And mom really gets embarrassed when dad says this, but he says there's going to be a lot of people in heaven wearing miniskirts. Because we're not sending up much. There's going to be a lot of people, and you know, then you hear the old thing, well, if I just get to heaven, that's good enough. No, when you stand before the Lord, when you and I stand before the Lord, you're going to be reminded of every opportunity that you had to do something for God. Every work, every move of faith, everything, God is going to remind us of that, because He said He is going to open the books. How many books do you think you have just on yourself?
A lot.
Sure. He's going to open those books and He's going to remind us. So while we're here upon this earth, you know, a lot of people never get to experience the glory of God. And that's one of the four things, and when we talk about this a lot, redemption, justification, sanctification, glorification, and all. I can't experience glorification until I go on to be with the Lord. If you can't, you're missing out. If you can't experience the glory of God here upon this earth, you're missing out. You're missing out on such a great opportunity that God has in store for us in our life. So when we read and we study the Word of God, and when we begin to look at the promises and the commandments of God's Word, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to show us, He's going to show us the things that are going on in our life that are not pleasing unto God. And we avoid those things. But that's one of the, and He's, a lot of people think, well, He's showing me that to bring wrath and judgment and condemnation upon me. No, now you might get some wrath and judgment and condemnation upon you because of them. But the reason that He shows us those things is because it's hindering our relationship with God. And He's wanting us to work on those things. He's wanting us to get rid of those things in our life so that we might be able to follow after those things that God has in store for us in our life. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Let me read these real quick. These, when we talk about salvation, and we got to understand that salvation has nothing to do with religion. We're not conservative liberals, we're believers. So, and that's what we are. So here's what he says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. The first thing that he starts off saying is, he says, do not be what?
Deceived.
Every day we fall prey to some kind of deception. Somebody, somewhere in the world right now is falling prey to some kind of deception. But he says, don't be deceived, because God is not mocked. When he looks at you, it's whatever that you sow, he knows that's what you're going to reap. And that determines your relationship with him. Not somebody else, but you and me. So he said, he that soweth to the flesh is going to reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. The benefit of our everlasting life with the Lord. So he said, let us not be weary in what?
Well doing.
Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if what? If we do not faint, meaning if we do not let the deception of the world hinder our relationship with God in such a way that we just don't want to go on doing what God has for us to do. There is no sin in your life or in my life that God will not forgive you of, because Christ paid that debt of sin. And we can be forgiven. I've talked to people before and they said, oh, I go to church and be saved, but I got this and I got this and I got this and I got this, and I just know the Lord, He'll hold that against me. And I can tell you, you'll never get saved if that's the thought that's going around in your head. You cannot worry about the sin, the debt of sin that has already been paid. You've got to understand that God has already forgiven that debt of sin. We just need to come to Him and accept it. So when we look at those things in our life, only through salvation can you and I be made alive in Christ. What Christ tells His disciples, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but what? But by me, or through me. So we've been bought with a price, and the price was high. You and I could have never paid that price for our sin. Never. God paid it by giving His only begotten Son. That's how He paid that debt for our sin. So why would not everybody want to choose a life in Christ? It's the easiest thing in the world to do, but yet the hardest thing that most of us will ever do. Because we don't want to give up what we think we have. So that means every day in our life as a believer, and this is one thing that we a lot of times we don't understand in our life as a believer. Every day, when the Holy Spirit that indwells within us now as a believer, we think, boy, we're saved, that convicting spirit now will go away. Who do you think needs convicted more in their life? A sinner or a saint? That's right, a saint. We need that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it did bring us to salvation, but something's got to keep us in our relationship with God. So he says then, every day we must examine ourselves. How many of you, don't raise your hand. How many of you, when you got up this morning, said, Lord, show me something in my life that is not pleasing unto you? Did you do it yesterday? Did you do it the day before? Did you do it the day before that? No, of course not. But every day when we get up, this is what examining. Let's go read that verse. It's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Here's what he says. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Well, Lord, I have faith. I got saved, so I had to have faith. But are you still in the faith? Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Because if he's not in you, you're already condemned. So if you want to understand your salvation, the first thing you've got to understand that once you accepted that saving grace of Jesus Christ, you accepted a responsibility, and you accepted a responsibility to take care of the temple. Our bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. What did he say here? He said, how that Jesus Christ is in you. Do we live our life every day showing others that Christ is in there? So when you run into people out here in the world and you leave and you could hear what they're saying, do they say, he don't act like Christ is living in him? This is what examining ourselves is all about. I can tell you that if Christ was here in person, well, probably not so much today, but if Christ was here in person walking with you every day holding your hand, you would live your life much different than you are now. Why? That'd be my question. Why? He might not be standing there physically holding your hand, but he's right here. He's living right there. And yet, we don't live like he's living right there. And he knows we're going to do this. So he says, for this reason, he says, examine yourself. And that means that God challenges us every day, and he can only challenge us through his word. So if you're not taking your Bible home and studying it and reading it every day, God can't challenge you. It has to come through the word of God, through prayer and through the word of God, because he wants us to test ourselves. He said, prove your own selves, and he wants to test us according to our behaviors. So most of our behaviors in the world today, I'll just tell you this because my behaviors are the same. Most of them come about due to our worldly emotions. God wants us to get rid of those worldly emotions because they don't bring anything but heartache and pain and suffering. So get rid of those worldly emotions. Now, when you work according to the Lord, you're still going to have heartache and pain and suffering. But when you're doing it according to the things that God has in store for you in your life, he's going to make sure that you have joy through it. When you have joy through your worldly emotions, then you don't have no joy. You're sad, you're angry, you're upset, you're all of those worldly emotions that come through it. So he says, get rid of those things in your life and live according to the indwelling Holy Spirit that is within you. We have to learn that we must be walking in spirit and in truth. You can't do one without the other. You might say, oh, yesterday was a pretty truthful day for me, but I really didn't do everything the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. You just told yourself a lie. We have to walk according to God's Spirit and according to His truth. 2 Corinthians, let's just back up into chapter 3 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Here's what he says. Now that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, or our sufficiency comes from God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now, when he says the New Testament, that doesn't mean he doesn't want you to study the Old Testament. He's talking about this grace dispensation period. When Christ came, he was crucified, he was resurrected, we were saved. Now we've made ourselves a part of that. But listen to what he says. He says, not of the letter. Okay? Wisdom and knowledge is good to have, especially of the Word of God. But if you never gain that sufficiency, meaning if you never gain any understanding of that wisdom and knowledge, then the wisdom and knowledge isn't doing no good. So we have to ask God to give us some understanding. So he said, not of the letter, but he said, it's all about the Spirit that indwells within us. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. There are things that people are doing, they feel it's according to the Word of God, and all it is doing is continually hindering their relationship with God because they don't understand what it is that God is trying to show them through His Word. Rules and regulations will not get you anywhere if they're man's rules and regulations. We've got to quit being dependent on our own abilities. Well, I'll get myself through this. You and I can't get ourselves through anything. It has to come from the Lord. So in Philippians, well, let's just jump down. Let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 3. I think we even did this in Bible study the other night. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. I'm going to read these and then we're going to quit. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Here's what he says. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. God's mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. When you were saved, you know, only... You ever heard people say, oh, my wife, she has several people living in there. She's got multiple personalities. I don't say that about my wife. You can only have one person living in there. It's either going to be the world or it's going to be the Holy Spirit. He won't live in there with anybody else. So he said, when you were saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified, and justified means being saved, by His grace, by God's grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Everything that we look forward to, we're doing it through the hope of our eternal life with God. Not I hope that I get eternal life, or not that I hope that I make it to eternal life, but that is our hope. That's what drives us. That's what keeps us going. Our hope of that eternal life with God. So in our life, anything that you know to be the truth in the Word of God... Now, and remember this, anything that you know to be the truth of the Word of God, something's going to oppose that. Something's going to try to change that in your life. And we can't let that happen. Because too many people today are allowing the truth of the Word of God to be changed, and it's being changed into a lie, but it still sounds like the truth. And people are being led astray. So the deception needs to be quickly recognized. You and I cannot recognize deception if we don't know the truth. if we're not following after the truth, if we're not reading and studying and meditating. Well, I do it once a week, preacher. If you're not doing it every day, many minutes or hours a day, we're vulnerable to deception because we do not know the truth. We should never, ever, but we do all the time, allow the truth to be compromised. So, if we allow these things to enter into our thoughts and into our mind, then now we're starting to practice religion and we've fallen away from our salvation. Don't ever let that be something that is confusing to you in your life. So let's ask ourselves this question this morning as we end. What are we practicing in our life? Are you just practicing good works? Because that's what my religion calls for. I believe if I do good works, if I do this, if I do that, then one of these days I'll surely go to heaven. Are we practicing religion? Or are we, as believers, growing in our salvation? It's not enough just to have salvation. We got to grow in it. If we don't grow in it, the truth can be removed from us through deception. So, what are we doing in our life? And this is a choice that every one of us have to make every day. Every day. So when you get up in the morning, go to that verse in 2 Corinthians and read it, where it says, examine yourselves. Just say, Lord, show me something today. Take the time. Show me something. Show me something in my life that'll help me to grow in my salvation. And one of the things that He might show you is, you need to get rid of that habit. You need to get rid of this. You need to get rid of that. But show me, Lord, and help me to do that. Help me to make that choice so that I might grow in my salvation and not just be one of the people that's practicing religion. Because the people out there in the world can see through it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, we pray for understanding of that Word so that we may apply it to our life, our everyday life, Heavenly Father. Lord, we want our relationship to grow. Lord, we want to better serve Thee, Heavenly Father. And Lord, when we fall prey to temptation and sin, we want to be reminded to come and ask forgiveness of that sin, Lord, so that we might be restored unto the fullness of Your righteousness in Christ Jesus. So we pray today, Lord, that every day we would examine ourselves, Heavenly Father. Lord, we want to be those who follow after and understand our salvation and not be deceived by the false religions that are going on out there in the world today. Help us, Lord, to stand fast in the truth of Your Word. Help us, Lord, to show others what the goodness of Your grace and Your mercy through salvation is truly all about. We ask this day, Lord, and every day, that You would forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. That You would help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Page 390. If you're here this morning and you have a need or a burden, certainly, if you're not sure of your salvation, then we invite you to come and pray. Talk to the Lord about that. We'll pray with you. But we want you to be sure of where you stand with the Lord. Page 390. This morning we are going to have communion, so I'm going to ask if these two young ladies would come and help me. Trinity? No? Okay. We have another volunteer. Okay. And while they're passing this out, I want to read you part of the scripture in the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. And here's what he started when the Lord was sitting down at the last Passover with his disciples. He said, "Now when even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said," listen what he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "Thank you." And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, that is, is written unto him, woe unto that man," thank you, "whom the Son of Man has betrayed. It had not been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said," you have said right. So as we, this represents the body and the blood of Christ, what He done for us, His shed blood. So what I'd like for you to do, if you go over in the book of Corinthians, again, Paul said to examine yourself. Now, when you take communion, you're not going to be sin-free. But as we examine ourselves, even as believers, God will show us those things that will help us to see this in the manner that He wants us to see it, as what God done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, He did what? He gave His only begotten Son. And that's what we want to see, because that's what we're representing when we partake of communion. The thing that God done for us, nobody else would have done it. Nobody else would ever give a sacrifice just for you or just for me. And we need to understand that as we're taking communion. And He says, and as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, He blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took the cup. Christ was thankful that He was going to give His life for ours. So He said He took the cup that represented His blood, and it said He gave thanks. And I can just see Him saying, "Father, thank You for allowing me to be crucified so that all of Your creations might live and have eternal life." And it said He took the cup and He gave thanks and He gave it unto them. And He said, "Drink all of it." When you're saved, it's not a portion, it's a whole. You accept it all. You accept all the eternal benefits, but you also accept all the responsibility, all the suffering. And when we accept it all, we give thanks for it in our life. And He said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Aren't you thankful today that God sent His Son, that Christ willingly came so that you and I might have eternal life? Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we just want to take a moment to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory. For without Your sacrifice, Lord, there would be no eternal life. And we would just pray, Heavenly Father, that we would wear it boldly so that we might show others. Lord, we don't want to see anybody leave this life without accepting Your saving grace. So please help us, Lord, to allow our light to shine. Lord, help us to be an example so that others may see and accept in their life as well. Help us, Lord, to grow, to become strengthened in our relationship with You, so that we always might be found willing to do those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto Thee. These things we ask in Thy most precious and holy name. And amen.
Amen.
Thank You. So if you have your papers, Does anybody else have anything this morning?
I do.
Okay.
I wanted to say how thankful I am for this church, for everyone that's here. And today I'm especially thankful for Kayla and everything that she's done to glorify and beautify our little church here. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Can we just put a song on there?
You got a good song? Okay, let me turn off the... Let's do... Praise the Lord.
Okay.
And then we'll do a song.
Anybody else? If not, we'll praise the Lord three times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.